Hello, mate.
Penny boy, how are you?
Good, mate. Yourself? This is the before you say anything, this is the Two Passionate Blue Baggers podcast. And how we going, old boy?
Yeah, we're going good. I just got to sunny Liverpool in New South Wales, so that's good. And just about to hit some paperwork, but I'll do that after the little chat about the Blue Boys.
All right, and I'll ask the question that I always do every weekend, every weekend, every week. Did we have a good weekend, or?
Certainly did. We certainly did. That was a good weekend. It was hey, we've got a new follower too. We've got a new listener, Vinny. I've
Okay.
been reliably told. So the CEO of where I work, Rami, great man, had a listen the other day, and whether he likes it or not, I'm not too sure. But
Is he a
he's
calm
a
supporter?
no. Look, I think he's Collingwood, but he doesn't. He doesn't follow it. He does not follow the footy. He doesn't follow the
Okay.
footy. So he's not. He understands it, but he doesn't. He's not one of those. But he's not a passionate Pies man like some of us that follow our club. But I haven't told him. I'd give him a shout. So I'm going to test him to see if he actually listens this week. So Rami, thanks for listening, and
Yeah.
hopefully you give me the thumbs up when you hear this one. So yeah, we've got another listener. So that gets us to six now.
Yeah, welcome. I mean, I was gonna say we can wait till Gebby gets here to start talking, but I'll wait till he gets here. But somebody's just joined the podcast. Somebody that may or may not have COVID, I believe.
Hello, boys. Yes, yes, I've got COVID.
Oh, fuck off, Webby. How about you toughen up, bro? You told me you were soft as butter last week when I had it.
I mean,
How you feeling, bro?
No, fuck it. No, don't even ask him. Fuck him. Toughen up, bro.
I'm here. I like our footy club. Tough. Tough.
Yeah.
Gritty.
Did the priest come and read you your last rites like he read mine?
Yeah. But
you're in a bad way, aren't you, bro?
Yeah, it's bad.
Day two and three are by far the worst days. What are you now? Day two?
Yeah. So I've had it since yesterday.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can.
So chances
hear it,
are,
bro.
you probably would have caught that at the footy.
On the way home, I started feeling a bit sniffly, and oh.
What do you do, bro?
You can blame you Russ. No, you know what you do? You blame Russ. It's Russ's fault.
Yeah, the old man.
Russ being your old man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get straight into it. So, I'll preface it by saying I didn't see 60% of the game live. I had prior,
your wife in hospital.
Prior engagement. Yeah. So, but I did get home in time to see. Almost to the point where we got in front in the third quarter. I'll watch it from there. So subsequent to that, I have watched the replay of the game. So I've got some thoughts about the full game. But you boys watched it live.
Webby was there. I didn't.
Well, just give me the thoughts from go to woe. What were the thoughts from you guys who watched it live? Because you're not going to get my reaction to, you know, shit, we did this shit. I've only watched it on the replay. What did you guys think?
Fire up with me. Over to you, bro.
All right, mate. I didn't think we were playing bad. It's just the GWS were just clinical. That's my thoughts.
Frank?
I'll give you my thoughts about the entire game. I thought,
because I mean, just quickly, I mean, if we go through it quarter by quarter, and only, I mean, again, there are some stats that you can read that will tell you a little bit about what happened during the game. And we are going to get into some of them a little bit later on, because it sort of refers to Frank's username on the podcast today, which I'll read out in a second. But in terms of the only stat that counts, which is scores, we were leading at quarter time by a goal.
Yeah.
And then the second quarter, they kicked 5-3 and we kicked 2-6. So it was 8 scoring shots apiece. It's just that they kicked 5-3 and we kicked 2-6.
We came out of the blocks, like the first quarter, we came out really strong. We were 5-3 up. They kicked that last goal on the siren. I think it was Bedford, which sort of swung the momentum back. And then in that second quarter, they used a lot of the handball link up from the back to sort of slice through us.
Yes.
And then they got out to, I'm going to say, 22 points in the second quarter.
Yeah.
And then we managed to kick the last two goals of that quarter to sort of stem the tide a little bit. Then the third quarter, they did it again. They got out to 20.
It took them a while, though.
Yeah, but then...
didn't happen straight away. It took them a while to break that grip. But then we sort of shot straight back.
So the handball... they had the handball game going really well. And then we sort of tightened up a little bit in the third quarter, then tightened up a lot more in the third quarter. Then we had like a six-minute... It was an eight-minute on the clock. So it's probably more 15-minute game time, but 8 minute on the clock.
Yeah.
Where we kicked 6-1 and they didn't score. So it was 57 to us, 77 to them. And then it ended up being 94-77. It was probably 7.5, 8 minutes of actual game time on the clock if you're watching it at home. That was the best 7 minutes of football that I've seen us play, considering who the opposition was. And the way we ran, carried, we were as tough as hell that I've seen I'm probably going to say the best part of 20 years. That was as good a football as I've seen. Good a football in the sense of the four players we need to fire to probably win were Cripps, Walsh, Harry and Charlie.
Yeah.
And they all went stupid in that. Yeah. Like I said,
two of them
of actual game time.
Two of them were doing it all game. The two boys in the middle, Charlie was getting enough of it, just couldn't kick it. Like up to that stage, he'd kick. I think it was four behinds.
He had a snap in the first half, and there was probably another one in there as well. But then after half time, him and Harry just went fucking berserk.
He had four shots in the second quarter and he missed all of them. And it seemed like he rushed all of them.
One of the snaps he did, I remember that one vividly, after Ollie Hollins had a snap as well and missed.
The problem is that it's from watching the replay, especially in that second quarter. And it was really only that one quarter that they really put the foot down. And it wasn't through lack of trying with us. It's just that, you know, they kicked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They kicked 5 or 6 in a row, I think it was, it was 5 or 6 goals in a row that they kicked. Well, they kicked 5 goals that quarter, but they also kicked the last of the first. They kicked 6 in a row before we kicked the last two of the second quarter. In between kicking those goals, we were kicking behinds as well, which is what frustrates you, is that they'd kick a goal, we'd go down, kick it behind, and they'd kick a goal. So, you know, and it's sort of similar to what happened against Adelaide with us, where you do all that hard work, get it down there. And again, the same with against Adelaide, we had the chance to break them in that one quarter. We just couldn't kick straight.
Mm.
So we've got it in us. The good thing that I noticed watching the replay was that we just never felt out of it. And again, I didn't watch it live. When you're watching it live, it's a different game. You feel a little bit differently. I'm watching the replay knowing the end result. So for me, it's like, well, I'm not really concerned about what's happening because I know the end result is we win by three goals, one.
And that flattered him, really, that
– Or two, that, 2-7,
that
sorry.
That score line flattered him, boys, because they kicked the last – three of the last four goals, but the last two were sort of junk time goals.
Especially the last one.
Definitely,
yeah.
Before you say anything, Webby, I just want, you know, and I'm sure everyone that's listening is able to grasp how good a win this was. But going into the game, look, I did tip us to win. I wasn't confident that we'd win, but I still did tip us to win.
No, I didn't.
Webby doesn't like using the excuse as. It's not even an excuse. You don't like it, Webby, using injuries as any type of excuse.
No.
In any game. And we're not using it as an excuse.
Yeah.
I want to give you two examples, though. So I was listening to the radio this morning, and there was an excuse given. So they were talking about, I think it was Nathan Buckley was talking about Geelong and, you know, where the hell have they come from? And they were talking about last year with Geelong. You know, they won the flag the year before. Last year, they dropped off. They only won 10 games. And he goes, and that's the significance of losing somebody like, what's his name? That bloody, the full forward there. What's his name?
For Geelong, Hawkins.
Yeah, the other one. What's his name?
Cameron.
Bloody hell, I just had a brain fade then. So they lost Cameron last year. And it made a really big impact on them. It reduced what they could do last year in climbing up the ladder. One player made a difference to them, which is probably what you can see this year with West Coast. Harley Reid, I watched the West Coast game. He's made a massive impact on. He's made a massive impact on the Eagles.
Yep.
Frank will remember in 1993, and this is going back. Remember the final series, Frank, in 1993? We played Essendon in the first final and we won by a kick.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
And do you remember what our uncle said to us? I don't know if you remember what he said to us.
Something about.
He's an Essendon supporter. What were they missing Essendon
missing
that
like
night?
Five players.
Yeah, they were missing five or six players that night, right? And he wasn't concerned. Now, we were only young. I was only 13. Frank would have been about 12 or 11 when we won that final. They got those five or six plays back for the grand final, and they smashed us. So it's not using it as an excuse, right? But to win like we did against GWS, and I know they had a couple of players out.
Yep.
But for the players that we had out, to win like we did – and you'll hear it in the commentary from all throughout radio today, because I listened to a lot of it today, doing work in the backyard. The main praise to us was, how did Carlton do it with so many players out?
System.
And that's what's good. Yeah, But that's what's good. It's the excuse is not when you lose. The excuse is when you win. How the fuck did we do it? How are we doing it with so many players out? Geelong, the commentators were using that excuse for Geelong last year, losing Cameron, was such a significance to them that they could only manage to win 9 or 10 games or whatever it was. And they've got home ground advantage playing in Geelong. And they missed the 8 last year after winning the grand final, missing one player, one. I mean... we can lay claim to maybe 7 or... And we're not talking about the guys that are missing for the year with their knees, Doherty and Jack. We're talking about 6 or 7 guys that would be walk-up starts in our top 22, top 23 that are missing. To have them not play and still do as well as we did against a team, really, that since round 13 or 14 last year, has only lost, what, 2 games GWS, and we've lost three, I think, since that period there. So we're probably two of maybe three or four form teams in the competition since that point. It's a fucking significant win. It's a pretty damn big win. And I made the comment, we were in a chat with Baz this morning, Paul Barbazza, and I said that I think it's probably the best win that we've had, home and away win, or most significant home and away win that we've had in the past 20 years.
Oh, we had some pretty big ones last year in Melbourne, Collingwood, but it's definitely
no. I think, but I just think this year with the players that we had out coming up against the team that we were, I don't know. I was checking the scores. Like I said, I wasn't watching it live, and it just looked like every time I refreshed the scores, it was a 2-goal game. Then I'd refresh it, then it'd be a 3-goal, then a 4-goal game. Refresh it again, back to 3 goals, back to 2, back to 3, back to 4. We couldn't break that 2-goal barrier after quarter time. Just kept blowing out, then coming back in, blowing out, then coming back in. And I thought, well, it looks like, that's without me watching it live, it just looked like they had our measure every time. And then getting messages from Frank, we're fucked, we're not doing anything, they're doing this, we're not doing that, we can't penetrate their this, and they're doing that. And, you know, and even Walsh, if you listen to the interview with him and Cripps at the end of the game, he mentioned exactly what Frank was saying, that sling from our forward line for GWS was just getting it a little bit too easy into their forward line. And, you know, it's just something that they... Yeah,
well, he admitted it. Well, we only had 8 tackles in the first quarter, so that might have been a reason behind them getting the ball out so easy.
That was the other thing that you mentioned. So, but the one thing that I really want to talk about, and Webby, we had a lot of backwards and forwards on two players in particular.
We did.
Was Pitternet and one was TDK, and I think you're too harsh on TDK. And you probably think that we're too harsh on Pitto, but it's not because we don't want these guys to succeed. Because, as we've said a million times, it doesn't matter who puts on that jumper. As long as they're wearing the Carlton Footy Club jumper, we want everyone to succeed. But in my eyes, and a lot of other guys' eyes, Pitto just wasn't cutting it. I can tell you, Neil, this is only my opinion, that's the best game he's played for the Carlton Football Club.
You could say something about Pitternet. That was probably his best game as well. So
no, that's what I'm talking about. Pitternet. I don't know if this is. But Frank put down as his username on here. The two ruckmen may work.
Yeah.
Now it's a very tiny sample size. We've only had a few games where we've seen them both together, but we did see them play against Melbourne last year, and they effectively shut out their two ruckman combination, and we won the game.
But do you know why it seemed to work better than any other time, like significantly? Because they both got coaches' votes today.
This is what I'll give you my opinion on why I think it worked, and it only worked because one guy played brilliantly well in the forward line, and that was TDK. So for him playing well in the forward line, it allows you to put Pitternet in the ruck, and it sort of means that
where he does his best work.
Well, he does, but he also needed to do it around the ground, and he did it around the ground. But it helps when, you know, there's no point in getting Pitternet and TDK working together, and TDK plays in the forward line but doesn't score a goal. It's like, well, then what's he there for?
Yeah.
You need him to score goals.
It only works if TDK's hitting the scoreboard. Like, he isn't going to kick 3 goals every single week.
No.
But if he can average a goal a week, like...
Well, we won by 3 goals. Works.
Yeah.
We won by 3 goals. Yeah. And he kicked 3 goals. You know what I mean? So, in the end... Pitternet playing in the ruck and De Koninck playing in the forward line, we won by the amount of goals that he kicked. And what did he kick? 3-1 for the game?
Do we have any stats on the how much time each player spends ruck and forward, or
we don't suppose have, we can find it, but I also think it worked because Pitnet actually did stuff around the ground. So he had his most touches ever in a game, equal most at 17.
Yes.
De Koninck had his most goals ever in a game. So very rare that he's going to kick 3+ in a game.
Yeah.
Or whatnot. Very rare that Pitnet takes, you know, 3 marks in a game, because he hasn't done that. He only done it 2 or 3 times last year. So we got, I'm not saying we got lucky with those two, but they played out of their skin. And I still don't think the clearance, as good as the clearance game was, and it was, we blew them off the park. Yep. The tide didn't turn until our turnover game came in. So people can say what they want about, yep, the two rucks worked, fantastic, it's awesome. But the turnover game was what actually won us the game.
On top of that, I think all of a sudden we've put too much significance on clearance and turnovers, and we're starting to become too much like fucking Kingy on radio and TV, where we're looking at stats and thinking that's the only thing that matters. For me, watching the replay, it was a total obliteration out of the midfield. And if you can win it out of there, you've got a good chance of winning the game. You just need to make sure that when you do it, you score. Because again, when Fremantle did it to us, beating us out of the middle, they didn't do anything with it. So it had no real impact on the game. We did, and it was having an impact. In the second half, that's the other thing as well. We can win. We won this game by both using the centre clearances that we got and clearances around the ground and turnovers. There's no point in relying on one or the other. Earlier in the season, we were relying too much on turnovers and not enough on the clearances. It sort of evened it up in this game here, but I don't know. I think we're just sort of getting too focused on it. Maybe I'm wrong, but
I feel we focus too much on the turnover game, and they're kind of bringing it back now to have a 50-50 split between clearances and D50 attacks, which is perfect, because if you focus on one thing and abandon another side of the game, it's going to affect you. So we our midfield are bullies, Cripps, Hewitt, not so much Walsh, but Kennedy. They are just bullies in there. And I just feel during the preseason we focused a little bit too much on the D50 attacks. I don't know how you guys feel, but
you have to, because that's the way the game's played. The game's played on a transition basis. But if you go back to that,
we abandoned the clearance game.
Yeah. But if you go back to the third quarter, no, and I'm not disagreeing with that. But if you go back to the third quarter and look at who our best two midfielders are or were, Cripps and Walsh, I don't see it as any coincidence that they both had their best quarters in the third. But what they also had is they both had more than 50% of their ball use forward of centre. We've always wanted them to get more of the ball forward of centre, not so much back. So if you look at the first two quarters or three out of the four quarters that Walsh had, most of his ball use was in the back half, right? So I think if I mean, I've been critical of Walsh because he doesn't use his possession.
You're not the only one.
He doesn't use his possessions as well as what we know he could. But in that third quarter, he had inside 50s. Okay, he didn't need to do as many clearances because Cripps was getting him to him. But we played that forward half game, and he had more of his possession in our forward 50 or offensive line versus the defensive line for the third quarter. And it was just silly how much we were bullying him in there. And key to that was locking the ball into our forward line after that initial onslaught that they had in the third quarter. So,
well, Walshy had 17 score involvements and 3 goal assists. And I believe, if I heard correctly today, that's the most ever for a Carlton player, 17 score involvements.
Well, he's average.
I may be mistaken. No, you're on that, right. I'm pretty sure it's what I heard. And no. it was just what a, this guy's come, but he really hasn't had much of a preseason. And he only came back last week, Sam Walsh.
He was in the middle of February, to be fair. So he probably.
Yeah, but he missed, but Webby, he was, I mean.
You don't have to do a pre-season. We know
I know that, but what I'm saying is that how much of the talk behind him was that he wasn't training much towards the, you know, before the start of the season, and he really didn't do much after that because of the issues that he was having with his back, and we weren't sure whether he was going to have surgery or not, and then. You know, it was sort of touch and go for a while there.
He was running like an old man as well, we were told.
Yeah, you know, just all that. And it comes.
He was.
No, but that's what I'm saying. And then to see him come out, and he was BOG for us last week, and this week he was top three. You know, it's just. The kid is just. He's a freak.
He adds a different dynamic to the midfield because he can run and carry, and he's that link. He's that link player to Cripps. And he is the finisher that we need to give the ball to Cripps.
Yes.
From Cripps to him. That's key.
That's great.
And Cripps at the moment, I think he's sort of gone under the radar for everybody. No one's even talking about Cripps' year this year.
Yeah.
But he's been fucking unbelievable this year so far.
You really know.
It's almost like he's just.
You really noticed.
It's almost like he's found the form from his Brownlow year.
I reckon he set himself.
He's probably even better.
I reckon he set himself for this game because they're all pulling themselves over Tommy Green, and he's going to be a gun because he sort of plays the same way and he's the same size, and he's 5 or 6 years younger than Cripper, but. Cripps just flexed and he absolutely fucking annihilated him.
Beast like, mode.
You know, he sort of said to him, "Not yet, young fella. You can have the torch in a couple of years, but this is my turf at the moment." And didn't give him any time and space. And yeah, Tom Green might have had 25 plus touches, but he just I think he got one clearance, Tom Green, and Cripps got 13. So that's the difference between. The way they played. So those two boys in the middle absolutely annihilated them, and it helps when they're your two best players because you can play that forward half game.
Well, Webby linked me up to the they showed, because I want to talk a little bit about TDK's game because I love this kid. I don't give a fuck what anyone said. He's gonna be so good, this kid. That one bit of play towards the end of the second quarter, and we sort of needed this goal. I think it was the end of the second quarter, wasn't it? Where we sort of needed this goal, and TDK did this beautiful tap behind him in the ruck. Is it center square? And then he runs down. So we get the clearance, and he runs down. He sort of follows the ball, runs down, and you can see him put his arm up, running to the forward 50, and they don't kick it to him, and they kick it sort of 30 metres out, and he somehow ends up with that ball from the ruck contest and snaps the ball on his right foot and kicks the goal. And I think it was just before, half time. It sort of just kept us in it.
I was thinking about you for about 30 seconds. I'm like,
yeah, and again, I didn't see it live. I only saw it on the replay, and
it was a fair goal.
And we sort of needed it at that stage. There, you're watching the game and thinking, well, I don't know how you guys are thinking, but I was watching the replay, going, fuck, we sort of needed that goal right there. It was just before half time, and you know, they kicked all those goals in a row, and we managed to put on, like Frank said before, two of them before half time. But it was just a beautiful bit of play, and he's really he seems to be improving every week, this kid. He really does. He's starting to cement his putting his stamp on our team, TDKs, and
keep backing it up, TDK. He's got to keep backing it up now.
And there's another guy that I want to give a shout out to. So TDK is my boy, and I'm always going to give him a shout out. But there's another guy he's not going to get any chocolates from anyone else. You'd have to be a Carlton supporter to give this guy any credence whatsoever. But we know him, and I'm sure we all love him. And he plays on the wing, and he looks a little bit like Mitch Robinson, but I think he's a better player. It's Cottrell.
Gun.
Yes.
And he's just so good. And you don't necessarily notice it the first time you watch the game. But if you watch it closely and see what he does, I'm not one of these stats guys. Again, certain stats I love reading about, and there's certain stats that do affect the game. I can't remember. I probably should have even brought it up. And it's from my mate Kingy. Came up with this stat about Cottrell, and he's sort of, I think he's equal with two other guys in the competition. I feel like an idiot now. I should have written it down. I can't remember this stat that he was saying. It could be score involvement.
Eight score involvements, 23 pressure acts. I did a tweet yesterday, so that's the only reason I can remember.
But we're talking for the year. I think it was score involvements for the year. I think he's actually equal first in the competition.
Role players.
They just go unheralded, and you know, it's. I just wanted to give him a shout out because he's not going to get Brownlow votes. It's probably something that only internally the club will talk about and say how good this kid is and what he's doing. But yeah, the wider, and I don't give a shit what the wider footy competition thinks of him, but yeah, I just wanted to give him a shout out. I thought he was amazing. And he has been all year. And he has been probably for the last, you know, we probably would have asked questions of him maybe in 2022. Is this kid going to make it? What's he like? And
we would.
We saw it last year, and now so far this year has been amazing.
So, Webby, if we said to you at the start of the game, there's going to be a player from GWS that can rip our heart out because he's their best player, you would have said Toby Green?
Him and Lockie Whitfield, I would have said.
Yep. So let's just say you said Toby Green.
Okay. Right.
Right.
And Frank would have mentioned someone else with an Italian surname.
And then at halftime, Zach Williams went down, who was doing a great job on Toby Green. And the first thing I thought of is, fuck me, he's going to go stupid now. But Jordan Boyd.
Another one.
I've been a big rap for Boyd because. I think I might have told Webby a few months ago that he's our best ball user in the team. He completely shut Toby Green out. It wasn't even funny how good a job he did. And Vince mentioned
getting frustrated and gave away free kick.
Correct. And Vince mentioned Cottrell being a role player and using every bit of skill that they've got. Jordan Boyd absolutely gave it to Toby Green. He didn't kick a goal, which I don't think he hasn't done. He hasn't done that for a little while. He hasn't been playing as well this year, but he's playing against a kid that hasn't even played more than 25 games, I don't think. And he just completely nullified him.
I was fucking dirty on Toby Green when he went to hit Boyd. I had my parents over Franco had mum and dad over that night because we got home from the hospital that night, and I had seen, I was watching the game then, and when he knocked him, tried to knock him out, I thought, you fucking prick. Like, I was, I take it personally when I see someone try and knock out a current player, and I had seen that Boyd was blanketing him, and I took it like he was trying to knock him out. That's what I took it as. So I don't give a shit what the wider footy community or anyone else thinks. To me, it looked like he went to knock him out. It was a dog's act.
I think, but anyway, go on, Frank. I think if he wanted to, he would have taken him out, and he wanted.
No, but he tried to, Frank. It's just by pure luck that he didn't. He got up because
he was in the mid air, mate. Come on.
That's what I'm saying. He tried to do something to him. He just didn't connect properly.
He was going to try and take the mark, Toby.
I think the job that he did, so for him to keep Toby Green the four touches in the second half, right, and not have any influence at all on the game. Now, yeah, it didn't go down there as well as what it would have in the first half, but to only keep him to four touches for this kid, as good a ball user as he is, his defensive effort on Green was awesome. Webby, you were there as well. Mm-hmm. We had another guy come into the team on the weekend, Cowan.
Yeah.
How'd you think he went?
Just before I get onto him, I also think we now have to give a bit of credit to Nick Austin, who found Cottrell. He's also found Boyd, so I think a bit of...
I think Austin's been great since he's come across.
A bit of credit has to be given to Austin and the development down at the club. But in terms of Cowan, he just came in and played a role. It kind of looked as though...
Webby just went. I was going to say, watching the replay, I thought Cowan looked pretty good. He made a few little mistakes. I didn't think it was anything significant. He's just come into the game after being out for a while. And, it was a quicker pace as opposed to what you're playing in the VFL. But I thought he did really well.
Do you know who reminds me of Vinny?
Yeah.
He's probably not as good. But he's not he's not flashy. He's tough, and he doesn't take a backward step. He reminds me a little bit of Peter Dean.
Yeah, well,
I know that's a bit.
It's going to take a while.
Remember how tough Peter Dean was. And how he didn't give two shits about anyone.
Yep, including himself.
And he was just tough as fuck. And he just, I don't know, he just reminds me of him. He's only played a handful of games, this kid. But I don't know, there's just something about the way he plays. And it's just no nonsense. Just go out there, get the job done, and go back into the room. That's how I see him. He just seems like a no-nonsense footballer. And I just, every time I see him, I just can't help but think of Peter Dean. I don't know, maybe that's just me.
I see it, but if he can get to half, three quarters of the player that Peter Dean was, with that passion and that heart, fuck, you've got a 200 gamer there, no problem. But he's still young, you know. There's no expectations on him at the moment. It's just get him to play some games, and is it just another one of those kids that could be anything? You just got to give them time. But yeah, to what Webby was saying, which Webby's back, Austin has done really well since he's been there.
It's just, yeah.
He's done really well.
He just came in and he played his role. So I know Frank has questions.
There was another player, Webby, really quickly. You're talking about role players.
Yeah.
When Williams went down, we know that Boyd went on to Toby Green.
Yeah.
But another player that played his 100th game on the weekend.
Bam, bam. Yep.
Kennedy did really, really, really well.
Where did he play? Like,
he sort of dropped down to half back because, you know, we lost two guys from there last week, mm-hmm. and then we lost another one the second half of the game. There was a period there in the third quarter where GWS were pressing again, and Kennedy just sort of stood there, and there's about a 2 or 3 minute segment of play there where he just kept rebounding the ball back out. He was just there being a nuisance for GWS in their forward line. And he just stood tall. He got the ball and he was breaking tackles and he looked strong. And, you know, he's got a mature body now. And I don't know.
He's fit.
Yeah, you know, we look. I know it's only six games into the season and, you know, we're not making any bold predictions or anything, but geez, we look good. We look really fucking good. Yeah, I'm getting excited.
We're not making any bold predictions.
But. No, but I said for the first time, I think I said to the kids, it could have been yesterday. I said to my two eldest, because they're the ones that come to the footy with us. And we had to go out somewhere yesterday in the morning. Could have been when we went to go do the take. One of my daughter had to go to a birthday party, and I had them in the car. And I said to them, "I think we can do it this year. I think we're good. I actually think now we're good enough to win a flag." Fuck, and again,
Nick would have loved it.
No, I think maybe more my eldest daughter Olivia got really excited. She goes, "You think, Dad?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." I needed. I was upset about the loss last week because it was the loss that I didn't think we needed, given the injuries that we've got and given the run that we've got in the next 4 or 5 weeks. I just didn't want to lose a game like that, you know, against an opposition like Adelaide again. I just didn't want to lose it.
Over it, but.
No. Well, they you can think what you want. Either way, we lost.
In hindsight, we maybe did now because we all.
We didn't because we it's a game that we shouldn't have dropped. But you know, if we'd gone predictions before the start of the year, we would have put a loss to Brisbane and the next five would have been wins. We would have said, well, we can beat GWS down here, we can beat Adelaide, we can beat all those other teams. But we'll cop the loss against Brisbane. We'll cop that as a zero, but the next ones will win. So we got back what we lost last week against Adelaide with the win this week against GWS. That's why I put so much significance on this win here, is because it gets us back on track, Neil. Because if we'd lost this one here, all of a sudden now, you know, GWS goes six straight wins, we're four wins, two losses. And it puts you two games behind the ladder leaders, which you're playing another one this week. And if you lost against GWS and then lost to Geelong, well, then you're 4-3 and Geelong 7-0. And good luck catching them when they've got so many home games.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you that every game is so significant. It
shows how tight it is. Sorry.
Yeah, it is. You need to make every post a winner. That's where we're trying to get at. That, you know, you may think that some people are overreacting to a loss, but to win a flag, you really need to finish top four.
Yeah.
And if there's interstate teams in it, you need to make sure you're even top two. You really do need to try and get there. And if you're losing games against teams like Adelaide when you shouldn't, well, you've got to worry. But if you're beating teams like GWS with the players that we've got out, that's where I was. The disappointment from last week that I had, balance that with the enthusiasm that I've got this week from the win against GWS. That's why I put so much significance on this win and why I said to my kids, I seriously think that, and you know, there's still a long way to go.
Yeah.
Again, you know, we're six games in. There's still a long way to go. But, you know, if form plays out the way that it is from here on out, we keep going the way that we are. Again, we're going to have ups and downs all year. We know that. But if this is the precedent set here against GWS, we can win with that many players out. Fuck, I'm excited. I'm really excited.
So,
and I do think we've got a team that can do it, that can go all the way.
So I've got a question for Frank. Now, in the past, you have been vocal that we are talent over system. Do you still believe that, or are you starting to think maybe we are a systems-based team?
It's probably looking more like we're system-based at the moment, yeah, because the personnel we got out. But we've got to keep doing that. The last thing we want to do now is go win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, or win, loss, loss, win. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we want to try and be as consistent as possible. And
I think we've seen enough now to know that we're going to push every team in the competition, even if we're not playing at our best. We're not that shit team anymore.
No.
We're not that team that gets bullied anymore. You read out, and again, this is why I hate reading stats, but you read out that stat before, Frank, with the tackles in the first quarter, 8-26, I think it was.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at things like that, you go, well, we're not really in the game. And we will go up. So it didn't. If that had continued throughout the rest of the game, then it may have made a difference. But we course corrected, because after that first quarter, we out tackled them.
Yeah, but our game's based on pressure. That's the game plan.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is that in the first quarter, the pressure game that we rely so heavily on, it didn't impact us on the scoreboard. You know what I mean? And if not for errant kicking in the second quarter, it would have been exactly the same. You know what I mean? Because we had the same amount of scoring shots, we just couldn't kick straight. So all I'm saying is that even when we're not at our best, we're still in games, you know? And that's what I was trying to say before, just taking it back really quickly before you go on, Frank. The win that we had against GWS this week, I felt before the Adelaide game that we were sort of playing a little bit like we were at the start of last year. We hadn't really hit our straps yet. And I was worried that losing the Adelaide game was going to go, maybe put it in their heads that we're not ready yet. We're going to have another tough run. We're going to lose these games. And then we're going to find ourselves midway through the year fucked again. And then they'll wake up and say, let's go. Well, it only took one loss to Adelaide by 2 points, mind you, for us to go, no, we're not going to do the same as what we did last year, even though we're playing the team that's top of the ladder or equal first, whatever they are. We're going to do it this week. And that was what was so good about it. And I finally, yeah, and I saw that the way that we played against GWS was how we played the second half of last year, which was just intensity and ferociousness, and we didn't let down. And it was just from midway through that third quarter, it was brutal, brutal football. We effectively doubled our score in a quarter and a half.
But I think
it was unbelievable.
We've had 32 shots on goal, mate. Like, there's probably a couple rushed in there, but still, 32 shots on goal. You're going to be in game.
Oh, it's but we're doing it almost every week.
Yeah,
but don't we you lost think, to Adelaide with 28 scoring shots?
But
they
don't
had
you
20.
Think Voss's press conference on Thursday set the tone for a no excuse policy?
Yeah.
We don't care about injuries. Yeah. I think that set the tone, and he would have planted that all week.
Yep.
He would have told them all week, I don't give a fuck who's out there.
Yeah, but Frank, we're all the same. We're not. Why. Yeah, but we're not using the injuries as an excuse.
No,
and we never have.
But that's what I'm trying to say. When you're missing
we're just
so many
stating,
players,
we're just we stating been. Facts. I'm not using it as an excuse.
No.
I never will. Injuries
Maybe
are no excuse.
But there's a lot of people out there.
Just,
oh, Cherries out, Doves out. South
no, no, but out. No, no, but
we're going to go 0-5. Blah blah blah.
No, 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 but we're they're just
it doesn't matter who comes in.
Yeah, but and what I said to you during the week was that injuries do become a concern, especially now, right? If all of a sudden Charlie goes down and Wiedering goes down,
it becomes
a concern. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And for us, it was like we're almost at breaking point, and you wouldn't want any more significant injuries. That was my point. I'm not saying that we lose because of it. I'm just saying it sort of gets to the point where you're like, come on, give us a break. You know, like, what the fuck have we done to be this cursed by injuries? It got to that. And we're a systems-based team. And in the end, it didn't have that significance that I probably thought it may have. But again, I did tip us to win. So,
Vinny, before you get on to the questions, if we've got any, because I haven't.
No, we don't. No, I didn't put it on Twitter.
I haven't checked out socials today. Webby, I want to just mention five names to you. I want you to just give us a real quick rundown on how do you think they're going. Okay, I'll give you just random five. You ready?
Sure. Yeah.
Just let us know how you think they're going. Jack Carroll.
He doesn't get a lot of it, but. He makes smart decisions, I think.
Okay. Owies?
Yeah.
Is he in a bit of trouble if we had the troops back?
Yes, with someone else who's probably in this list of names that's coming, I reckon.
Yep. Durden?
He took his opportunities. Again, he doesn't get a whole heap of it, but if he can just put forward pressure on, that's fine. You don't have to kick goals. Forward pressure.
Yep.
But he did kick goals, though.
Yeah.
He kicked two.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He kicked two.
Yeah.
Two more. Fantasia?
He wouldn't be getting a game if a couple other players were available.
Hey, just quickly with him, if I can interrupt.
Ball in hand.
No. Every time he does get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something happens.
Yeah.
Something does happen. But like we tend to score.
Getting six touches and not.
No, he needs if he could double the amount of touches that he was getting. Even if he doesn't kick goals, but he's setting up like a Cottrell does, then I'm comfortable with that. But anyway, go on, Frank.
And the last one is the whipping boy in the back line, Young. What do you think about him on the weekend? Because you know my disdain for fucking Riccardi. How did you think he went, Young? Oh, I thought he was okay. He held his own. What did you think?
I thought he was okay, but the last goal Riccardi got, I thought was a bit soft. I reckon, yeah, it's a bit soft.
He still gets nervous around the ball, though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He just seems like he's got nerves. But look, again, if he can play
we're
that
gonna
third.
We're going to need him this week, though. I tell you. We're going to need
him. Yeah. If he can play that third tall and just hold until Marchi and or Gov come back.
He's very laconic, isn't he? He's just very, very laconic for me.
Yeah, but that's the way some people are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't help that. Everyone's got different personalities, but as long as he doesn't have to do anything flashy, I know he doesn't get a heap of the ball, five or six touches or whatever he got. He doesn't need to get a lot of
doesn't
it.
Have to
but as long as he creates an impact and doesn't let his opponent, you know, kick a couple. And again, Riccardi got a couple of he got one. I think he got one over the back, and I can't remember how he got the other one. The other two.
Who played on Cadman? Was that Kemp, was it?
I think it was Kemp.
Right. He did nothing.
Cadman?
Yeah.
Kemp's a good player. He's turned into a really good defender.
He kicked one goal from out the back in that second quarter, I think it was. But apart from that, I didn't even see him. So
yeah, no, no, he did well. He's been doing well, Kemp. And like yeah. I said, Kemp shouldn't be dropped from this side. So I think
it just requires a bit of patience. He just, you know, he gets a bit nervy every now and again, but
that's all right. He's a kid.
He'll get there.
So we got no questions this week because you didn't put it out there.
No, no, I thought we were going to do it last night, but we decided to do it tonight at the last minute. So
I'll pose the question.
It's all right.
So
yeah.
So to both of you guys.
There you go, bro.
In the third quarter, Kelly kicks two goals in a row.
In a hurry.
Then we really decide to turn up. Why does it take until the 15-minute mark of the third quarter to really ramp up the pressure around the ground everywhere? Why does it take so long? If our game is based off pressure, why is it taking us 15 minutes into the third quarter, being 20 points down, for us?
Yeah, but we were 20 points down for portions of the game. Yeah, but we were 20 points down for portions of the game. So there was one key word that a few of the commentators were saying this morning that a lot of the coaches mentioned, especially this weekend, and that was momentum. Mm. And once you've got it, you need to take advantage of it.
Mm.
And I just think that we got that momentum going. Charlie kicked his first goal. And that's what started that route of goals for us.
He's the fire starter.
Yeah, and the midfield clearances started happening again, and they were getting the ball in there, and as soon as Charlie kicked one, then Harry kicked one.
Yeah,
and they couldn't kick one for the game. It just happened that they did, and I can't answer why it took that long. Sometimes it just does, Webby. I mean. Mm. You know, there was another game on the weekend just before our one, the Collingwood game with Port Adelaide, and they were five or six goals down. And, you know, we were all looking at the scores at the hospital going, what the fuck is going on there? Like, geez, has Collingwood shown up or is Port Adelaide just that good? And then you're just checking the score and Collingwood just kept getting closer and closer, and then they got further and further away. It just happens. Sometimes it takes a quarter. Sometimes it takes two quarters. You know, with us, it just so happened that in the middle of that third quarter, everything just clicked. It sort of clicked throughout the game, but wasn't for long enough. And this period here, it clicked. And instead of kicking
in the first half, we didn't play.
No,
bad,
no. Well, that's but what I'm saying is that instead of having a second quarter where we kicked six.
We really ramped it up.
Yeah, what did we kick? 6-3. Or whatever it was in that third quarter, or 7-3.
Our players feed off us, the fans, and
but they can do it. They can do it even when it's interstate. You know, we did it against Brisbane, where they got a fair way ahead. I don't know if it's something where we like. I don't know if it's something where, and I hope it's not a pattern where we need to be behind to click into gear. But I just think we have those moments in games where where everything clicks for us and we go nuts and we seem to do it a fair bit.
As soon as we start tackling and pressuring the opposition, our fans lift, our players lift. This is a bloody advantage for us. Our fans, us included, like, it's a bloody advantage for us.
I didn't hear him against Adelaide, though. I heard him loud and clear against GWS. Yeah. So maybe they were a bit quiet against Adelaide. But in reality, this game here, I actually thought, based on the amount of dominance we had after halftime, it felt like a 6-7 goal win. Mm. Didn't feel like a 3 goal win in my eyes.
It was funny because you messaged me with about 3 minutes to go And you wrote something like nervy last 3 minutes. Yeah. And again, I was watching it from home with my parents. I was watching it at home with my parents, and I remember looking at the clock, and it might have been about 9 or 10 minutes left, or 8 minutes left, something like that. We were about 25 or 30 points up or something. And I said, and my dad said it first. Dad said, you know, isn't it normally first to 100 wins? And I think that's the Lee Matthews or Dermot Brereton may have said that. But, you know, generally the team that gets the 100 first wins. But once we'd gotten to like, there's about 5 goals up, I said to my dad, look, I don't think we're going to lose from here. I can't see them kicking 6 goals to win this game. I just couldn't see it. We just had all the momentum. It just looked like every time they got it down, we were just rebounding it out just far too easy. They had no one free, and we'd really taken control of the game. And, you know, there were a couple of nervy little moments where they got loose through the middle and they were running it down. But every time they got it in there, it was just, I don't know, we looked sure of ourselves in the back line. Everything started to click, and, you know, Wiedering was taking control. And
how have we not talked about Jacob Wiedering and his bloody courage? Like, with 20 seconds to go before half time, he got cooked. He got done.
Yep.
I messaged you guys because I saw on the app Williams gone off injured, Wiedering gone off injured, and I'm messaging you guys going, what the fuck is going on? We got more injuries.
I was hearing ACL at half time, and they strapped him up, they put a mattress on him, like he was definitely hindered. He was hindered, right? But
of all games, you don't want him to miss this week. It's against Geelong, for fuck's sake.
Just courageous.
he is. But yeah, I mean,
I thought our ball use after halftime, going inside 50, was also better. Someone hit up TDK for a goal. Harry came.
That was Durden. I think that was.
Well,
Durden.
What's that stat that Frank Harry read out last out week about the marks?
Full forward and could have killed freaking Kelly.
Well, what's that stat that Frank read out last week? Marks inside 50. So Marks in the, I'll read 7-8. This stat out. Yeah, well, I'll read this stat out for all the fans that love me reading out stats that I hate. They took 106 marks for the game, and we only took 70. But yet they took 13 inside 50 marks. We took 17.
And they were the number one team coming into this round.
Right.
So 50. So we know to fight it, and you know what? All in all,
better ball use though. Inside 50.
It was just an awesome performance, and it was one that Webby. I'll tell you now.
Inside 50.
Easy, bro. This was the win that I needed to see. I needed to see this win here
that day.
I needed this because this is the game where you stamp your authority on the competition and say, no, we're not. It's funny. I'm going to mention another podcast. I was listening to it this morning.
Yep.
The Ian Prendergast cast. I was going for a walk this morning, and one of the blokes
have
that was on there.
Have you guys signed up? You guys signed up?
No, not yet. No.
I signed up.
Can we not flog another podcast for fuck's sake?
I'll let him go. They're all right. I was listening to it this morning, and not to steal thunder from them. If everyone wants to go and listen to it, go and listen to it. But it was just a story that one of the guys told on there because he's friends with Kingsley. And he was saying that he was having a coffee.
Yeah.
He was having a coffee with Kingsley on the morning of the game, and they saw
Cane Corns.
Yes.
And Cane Corns was saying, "Don't worry about Carlton. They're shit.
They're no good.
They're shit. They're no good. They're shit." And I thought, that is still the perception of Carlton, which, you know, it wasn't. it wasn't so much that Kane Corn said it. It's that, you know, they won't say it on TV, but in private circles, these are the things that they say. And they're still of the opinion. And I, look, maybe opinions changed after what they saw
on Saturday. He was probably taking the piss, Vince, because he did say it was the best win of the year.
No, that's what I'm saying. After that, but what I'm saying is that, you know, and again, we've done nothing. We haven't won a grand final. Admittedly, we won two finals, but that's nothing. That's like pissing in the wind. It's just, it goes black, blows back in your face. It means nothing. Okay. The only time that you can say anything is if you've won a flag. That's the only significant win that I'll take above anything else. You need to win a flag. So we haven't done that. But, you know, we're talking in recent history, since that Essendon game last year when we lost, since that point there, Carlton and GWS have been the two form teams of the comp. Again, Collingwood didn't win the flag, so take nothing off them. But in terms of the amount of wins, we've both won the most amount of games. And everyone's happy to give GWS their dues in how good they are, and they're the best team in the competition. Well, we've basically now won the same amount of games as they have in that same period of time.
I'm happy to fly under the radar. I don't really care.
No. I'm just saying that's the perception is still that Carlton ain't any good.
That's all right.
And look, there probably would have even been some of us Carlton supporters that are still, you know, through 20 odd years of just constant shit, are still battle scarred. You know, we just don't think that this team can do it, but we can.
You got to move on.
We are good enough.
You got to.
Yeah, no, we are good enough. I'll move on once we've won the flag, but. Every week that goes by and performances like this make it easier for me to watch a game and go, no, we should win this. Every now and again, you get that dose of reality. Adelaide last week, 16
out of the last 19.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. Sure, you know, and if that, but, yeah. You know, and if you take that in a year, you know, if we get to round 20 or 21, where you've played 19 games and you've won 16. Yeah. I mean, that's there's top four.
Yeah,
that's top four top sewn 20, up. But... And anything above and beyond that, you're playing for top two. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you're playing for a home final. So, you know, we just need to sort of look at it that way and go, fuck, we actually are doing really, really well. And we've got to acknowledge that. And we've had just as many injuries as any other team in the competition. So if we could fucking arrest that, then we'd be even better. But anyway, look, I didn't put the questions out, 21. We've got a big game this week. It doesn't get any easier. And what shits me is that they're already talking down Geelong. All the commentators are talking down Geelong because apparently they've beaten nobody this year. You know, and it's like, why do you need to say it now? Why wouldn't they? Oh, no, but they beat Brisbane on the weekend.
Everyone's you know, and up there.
Well, it doesn't matter. They still beat Brisbane up there, and we started that,
Rod.
We did.
Didn't we,
but,
bro?
You know, it's like just fucking all the, every time we play a team, it's always all they've done.
They've won six games this year, Vinny.
That's all you can do. So, that's it. So,
you know, all you can do is beat who you're up against. And
yeah, so look, we're at the moment, you know, we're hearing that Zach Williams is okay. We're hearing that Wietering's a bit sore, but, you know, it's touch and go for him. We don't know.
Yeah, we can't wait.
So what do we think? Does anyone go out? Does anyone come in? I don't think any of the injuries are right to go.
Sherritt will come back, won't he?
Yeah.
Well, Kieran Fogarty will come in, won't they?
I'm hearing...
Wasn't Fogarty 4 weeks?
Kieran's 95% chance of coming in. I heard that on Saturday. Fog?
I thought he was a four-week injury. That was about 3 weeks
ago. How if I know? Like,
or 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? Against that? When did he do his injury?
They haven't told us.
What's he got, a fractured arm?
No, he's got a wrist injury.
Fuck it, strap it up, Fog, for fuck's sake. Toughen up, get out there.
Is that wrist injury sort of travelled down into his calf or something, and he's got now a calf injury or a miracle hamstring injury that's going to keep him out for another 5 weeks, is it, or something?
Communication at the footy club is
well, is mate, Webby, cool. Bro, quite cool. According to some of our fans, who gives a shit about that? We don't need to know that. You know, we just need to know what we're told.
It's like the conspiracy theories that were going around about Sam Durden. But it turns out he was suspended from a VFL game and he got 3 weeks. And because of the terrible fixturing at VFL.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you miss. It's bullshit. That is just complete bullshit. I hate it.
The club should have come out and told us that there's no injury. He's serving a VFL suspension. It can't be that hard, can it?
When's he back, Durden?
Next week, I think. I think it's 3 games now.
So could he potentially play if Wieters doesn't come up?
Potentially, but he hasn't played for 6 or 7 weeks, and coming up against Hawkins and
Cameron,
tough ask.
Yeah, and I don't buy into the fact that they've got no Stewart because they beat us last year without Stewart, if you remember.
They also
Did we not play him at the back end of last year?
No. We played.
No,
we only played the year before. The year before they beat us in a night game with Stewart. Yeah, with Stewart.
Yeah, well, that was also that was also their premiership year. They were on fire that year. What do we think? I mean,
if we go in with the same mindset, we can win. The same, 100%. I'm going to back us in to win. Let's just see if Wieters comes up and William, because I mean, one in, one out. I know we were saying that an hour ago, but there's certain players they're just hard to replace.
Yeah,
especially against a mob like this, you know.
And Wieters is one.
Those two blokes take control.
You've got three up. You've got three up there because you've got Henry as well.
Yeah, I know. It's just
he's almost the jack in the box. So you know,
Cameron's one of the best players, and if not the best player in the competition at the moment. So. You know, if he cuts loose like he always seems to do against us, whew,
so
you'd want the other boys firing down the other end. Charlie, that's all
show.
I'm saying.
The Charlie show. They do match up well. They do match up very well.
Probably go to Harry.
They do match up very well against us.
Yeah.
Because they can sort of combat Harry and Charlie with Collar Jasny and Sam DeConning.
Yeah.
But you know what? Our midfield should have a bit of an advantage on him. But again, Blitzars normally matches up well on Cripper. So, look, it'll be interesting to see. It's going to be a good game. Saturday night, top of the table clash. And
so
I'm picking us to win. So
so you're tipping us. Webby, what do you reckon?
I think we'll win. So it'll be Cripps, Hewitt, Walsh. Who's our fourth midfielder?
Probably Carroll.
If Chera comes in,
If Chera comes in, up against Dangerfield. Who else they got in there?
Duncan.
Bruin apparently played pretty well against Brisbane, I heard. Bruin? Tanner Bruin?
Oh, yeah.
So, the game will be won and lost in the midfield. So,
who's there? Let's see how we go.
Who's there?
They've got Reece Stanley.
Stanley, okay. All right.
They got Stanley and Jimmy Conway.
Do we need to
Jimmy,
play two? Runs?
Jimmy the Gen.
Do we have to play them both?
What's that?
The two rucks, or can TDK do it with a chop out from Harry or Lewis Young?
You've been pulling yourself for fucking 3 weeks over. Fuck, bro, the COVID must have got to you.
I was worried.
Who knows what they're going to do? I mean,
I was worried. It might be because he's a massive man, Briggs, but. Reece Stanley, I'm not as worried.
I think we need to stop worrying less about other teams, and maybe they need to worry a little bit about us.
100%.
It's not always, you know, we go into a game thinking, well, who are we going to use to stop this bloke and who are we going to use to stop that bloke? How about they come in and say, well, who are we going to bring in to stop Pitto in the ruck and who are we going to bring in to stop Harry down in the forward line? And, you know, we've got some weapons as well. So it doesn't always work one way. And look, they might be thinking we've finally cracked the two ruckman code. I don't know. They might give it a go this week, and it just might not work. It's just, you know, these are the kinds of games now you're starting to get into the nitty gritty of it, and you know you lose to Geelong now, you fall two games behind them, and you know their run's not easy as well. They've got a few really tough games coming up, but we can only worry about ourselves.
Coming up.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. But you know, we can only worry about ourselves, and we just need to keep winning. So I think we can win.
You're going to drop games.
No, of course we are. But when you're playing teams like this, you want to get one up on them. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be nice to win this one here and go equal top of the ladder. That's it'd be nice to do. It'd be nice to make another statement to say we're here and we're here to stay. We're not just here to make up the numbers. And again, it's only early in the year. You can lose games like this and still make a significant impact later on. But it'd be nice to see another statement win like we had against GWS. So I'm tipping us to do it. Whether we can or we can't, it's up to the boys. We've got no say in that. But I think we can. Very interested to see what happens. But they're firing at the moment. And it's exciting times. Just enjoy the ride, whatever it is. Just enjoy the ride. Because we haven't been this good for a fucking long, long, long time.
I heard them say that we haven't started 5-1 since early 2000s. So, as someone who's just lived through the absolute shit, it's a joy to watch at the moment.
Enjoy it, bro, because we haven't been like this for a while. Nah, just enjoy the ride.
Yeah,
it's a bumpy ride, mate. You know, there's no smooth ways to get to where you need to go. Like, you know, Collingwood lost to bloody Hawthorn last year, and Hawthorn are a bottom
four in a row.
Yeah, exactly. And Hawthorn are a bottom four team. So, you know, you just got to take the good with the bad and hope that they learn from every loss, and we see where they go. But yeah, I'm backing them in all the way. I'm backing them in all the way. So unless you guys have got anything else to say, I'm happy to wrap it up.
Vinny.
I'm done.
Saturday night game against the Cats. They're top of the ladder, so big test. But Frankie boy, enjoy your time up in smelly New South Wales.
God, I'm back on Wednesday, so I'm just in a fly in, fly out. So, yeah, work.
And Webby, you're in God's country, so I'm sure you'll enjoy it there. And I'm home looking after wife.
Stay
so
home,
that should
Webby.
Be fun.
Webby, stay home. Don't fucking God's country for fuck's sake. Stay home. Right.
Yeah. Get better,
hey,
bro.
Actually, Webby. By the way, how many times have you watched the replay? I reckon I'm getting a fucking screenshot every 30 seconds.
I've probably watched the second half probably three times.
Yeah, okay. Did we win each time?
If I said something important, I clip it.
Yeah, no shit.
Did we win this time?
Webby, did we win? Yes. Did we win all three times?
Yes, we did.
Boys, I got to go. I still got work to do. Can you fuck off?
We're going, bro. Just give me a second to fucking say thanks to everyone for listening to the Two Passionate Blue Baggers podcast. I'm Vinny, you're Frager, you're Webby.
Shout out to Christian as well, who I saw at the ground, and it's the three.
No, Christian, it's not fucking three. It's two. Thank you, and you're Christian. You'll be in the doghouse, old boy. Okay? You'll be in the doghouse.
Shout out to Bucky as well,
man. He's a good man. He's a good man, Christian.
Yeah, he's a very good man. So anyway, thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you all on Saturday night. Go Blue Baggers. Thanks, boys, and bye for now.
Night all.